Good evening and welcome to Three Mile Wesleyan Church here on this Wednesday night, the 8th day of April 2026. And we're here in church tonight with no internet. So no internet means our computer doesn't have music. It means we don't have our normal Facebook Live broadcast. And so we're resorting to, I've got a little digital audio device, and that's all we've got tonight to record the message tonight. We're going to put this on our website, 3milewest.com, and then probably on our Facebook church page, we'll probably put the link there to the website. Anybody who didn't get a chance to hear the message tonight can go to our website and find it there. So tonight is part two of our devotional series called Keep Those Bible Verses in Context. Keep Those Bible Verses in Context. So as part of our good biblical practice studies, last week we discussed the need to keep Bible verses in their original context. You might say, well, why do we need to do that? Well, we need to do it in order to ensure that we are interpreting verses correctly and properly. So a couple weeks ago, we reviewed some quite egregious misquoting of the Bible by certain politicians for political gain, we'll say, as an example of poor biblical practice. So we don't want to do that. We want to do it properly. And I think it's worth pointing out that most likely, I'd say most of us Christians have been guilty from time to time of taking Bible verses out of context. And I think I'm certainly guilty of that. As you study the Word and you learn more, you find out, hey, this isn't exactly what I thought it was. And that's okay. We're all human. Sometimes it's done inadvertently, sometimes even with the best of intentions. And some folks will use a verse to make a valid point that is still supported by Scripture, but not necessarily with the particular verse that they're quoting. And I'll give you an example here. We all know Genesis 1:1, right? What's Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We all know this verse. It's a very common verse. That verse could be used to describe God's incredible design capabilities, His creative qualities. And perhaps you could even link it to God's sovereignty. I'm sitting here looking at this camera. I don't know why I'm even bothering with this. It could also be used to refute, some godless theory such as the theory of evolution. But that verse does not provide information on other attributes of God. It doesn't say anything about God's holiness or God's love or God's perfect justice or God's faithfulness. Those are found elsewhere in Scripture. Those attributes we can find somewhere else. And there are many other good verses that we could use to discuss those attributes. So again, our goal is to keep Bible verses within the original context so that we can properly understand the original meaning of the text. And as we discussed last week, the author of the Bible is who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Bible, is the author. So it behooves us to seek what the Holy Spirit has recorded for us and preserved for us for thousands of years. So last Wednesday, we gave a couple of examples of verses that were taken out of context, where the original meaning was just misunderstood one way or another. Tonight, we're going to look at two more examples that are commonly misunderstood. Okay, you ready for the first one? Ronnie's going to put up Philippians 4:13. This is out of the King James Version, and this one's really common. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to stop right there. So let's say, thus reads the Word of God, and let's pray. Father, as we come to your house tonight, it's our goal, it's our job, Father, to interpret your Word, Father, and the original meaning, the intent from the Holy Spirit as He had the men write your Word, God. It's our desire to know your Word and to teach it properly, and I pray that you guide me with this. Father, we continue to pray for Brother Bruce. He's getting discharged, and we pray for Tom as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if I could read your minds right here, you might say, hey, I've heard athletes use this verse. Athletes will say, when they score a goal, a touchdown, or maybe they make some incredibly athletic maneuver to help their team win the big game, and when the microphone's in front of them, sometimes they may quote this verse, and they'll say, Jesus Christ has enabled me to do these things. And so I think the intent is good. They're trying to share, you know, a message of Jesus. And I always think it's a good thing when athletes mention the name of Jesus in a positive way on a broadcast. But this verse doesn't mean exactly what they think it means. To help us understand, let's look at a slightly different translation of the verse from the New International Version. And this is a six-year-old version that has changed in the last 6 years. The NIV says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." But if you pull up the NIV today, they've actually changed the language a little bit to make it more accurate. And it says today, and I don't have it on the screen. Today, if you pull up the NIV, it says, "I can do all this." I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The King James Version says, "I can do all things," but the NIV has changed to say, "I can do all this." Well, what does Paul mean by the word "this"? The word "this" is a pronoun. I'm going to take you all back to English class here just for a minute. And I know Ronnie got straight C minuses in English class. That's okay. I'm going to take you back to English class. Whenever you use a pronoun, you have to first describe the noun before you use the pronoun. So the noun is the person, place, or thing. The thing that the pronoun is referring to, that's called the antecedent. So let me take you to school here. If you heard me say, "Man, he's getting on my last nerve. He's going to get what's coming to him. You better watch what he does next." What's the first thing that you're going to ask me? "Matt, who are you talking about? You just used the word 'he' three times, but you never told us who he is. Who are you talking about?" And that's the problem with using a pronoun without defining who or the person, place, or thing before you use it. So if we all use pronouns without the explanation, we'd never be able to understand each other. So when Paul says, "I can do all this," we have to read back a few verses to find the answer. What is he talking about? So Ronnie, if you would move the next one. Philippians 4, verse 10. Now we can understand what he's talking about. Philippians 4, verse 10. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." So now it's starting to make sense. When Paul says, "I can do all this," he's being specific about he's saying, "I can be content with little, and I can be content with much." Paul says, "I've had nothing, and I've had plenty." He says, either way, I've learned the secret of contentment. And Christ is the one who enables me to be content. So this verse has been misused. People say, "Well, I can do everything through Jesus who gives me strength." Well, specifically, it's about being content. That's why we say sometimes when we read the Bible, you know, sometimes maybe just pull out a slightly different variation, a slightly different translation, and read that one. Sometimes the words will be different just enough to give you the full picture, the full meaning of the text. Sometimes you'll hear different words being used that convey new meanings. You may not pick it up from just one version. And just so you know, anybody watching or listening online, this is not a criticism of the King James Version. There are times when the King James provides a more clear understanding of Scripture because it is truly a literal translation. Nothing wrong with the King James. But if you're ready for another example, I'm going to give you a fragment of a verse. It's a fragment that you've probably heard plenty of times. Here it is. You ready? "Money is the root of all evil." How many have heard that? Amen. Money is the root of all evil. So, if you took that phrase and you searched the Bible, would you find those words in that particular order? Money is the root of all evil. Would you find that if you did an electronic search? The answer might surprise you. The answer is yes, absolutely. Those words in that sequence are found in the King James Version, but they've been taken out of context. Here is the full verse with one verse before and one verse after from the same version, the King James. So no one can accuse me of switching around translations. So 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So first of all, the Bible does not say that money is the problem. It does not say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So if you're in English class, money is the object of the preposition. The subject is the love. Not money is not the root of evil. It's the love of money that's the root of evil. If you keep it in context, we can see the Bible tells us the rich man who pursues wealth allows himself to be tempted. He allows himself to be ensnared. The man who pursues wealth above all other things is heading down the path of destruction. Those who chase after money, Paul says, will find themselves deep into sorrow. And then Paul tells Timothy, there are much greater pursuits than money. He says, go after righteousness, go after faith, love, patience, meekness. Timothy, don't allow yourself to fall into the trap of chasing wealth. And another point that I think is worth making tonight, as we're past 12 minutes at this point, money is not inherently evil. Money in and of itself is not wrong. We all need money. We need money to pay bills. We use money to buy food. We use money to pay for fuel, to make monthly payments. There's nothing wrong with using money or having money. And being Americans living in the 21st century, I'd say that the vast majority of us have more money than we actually need. Now, somebody listening online right now might say, hey, now, hold on there, preacher man. I live paycheck to paycheck, bro. I don't have extra money. Well, may I remind you a sobering truth that we learned. One of the children that we support through Compassion International lives in the country of Nicaragua. Do you know what the average family lives on in the country of Nicaragua? How many dollars a day do you think they have to live on? The answer might really shock you. The answer is four. The average family in Nicaragua lives on $4 a day. How much money did you spend on that caramel latte at Starbucks? $4 a day for the entire family to live on. I would say without question, we have been blessed greatly in this country. Money is not the problem, but the love of money is the problem. When our primary goal is to chase that dollar bill, when we're chasing that dollar bill, we're living like the world. When we're chasing that dollar bill, we're not living the way God has called us to live. And God knows that we need money. Money is a tool that we use. Nothing wrong with money. Money's not the issue. But the love of money is the root of all evil. And just so you know, I could find many other verses right here in the Bible that will describe all kinds of warnings. Warnings about what happens to people who lust after money. The Bible's got all kinds of stuff. All right, and that is it for tonight. We're at 14 minutes and counting. I hope you guys are enjoying this series of examining common Bible verses that are pulled out of context. And I'll let you know we've got more waiting in the wings, and we'll do two verses for every Wednesday devotional that we have this series going on. And I'll make you an offer. If you've got a verse, if you've got one verse and you maybe you think it's been pulled out of context and you'd like me to examine it more closely, maybe it's one you hear on TV, or maybe it's just one that you've heard all your life, I encourage you to come find me in the service, after the service. I was going to say, if you're watching online, you can put it in the chat. But if you're listening online, you can reach me. If you're already on our website, you've got my email and my phone number are there, and you can send me a message. Also, for those who are not watching online tonight but listening online, if you also like to know how to be born again, we can certainly show you the way. So be happy to hear you guys. Be happy to hear from you. Anybody who would like to say, hey, I need you to explain this verse, I'll do my best to help. And we'll get to it next Wednesday. All right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we're thankful for the word that you have preserved for so many thousands of years. God, we believe, God, that the only way to heaven, Father, is faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. God, we just want to say thank you for loving us. Thank you for the plan of salvation that gives us a hope and a future. Thank you for your protection for your people. Thank you for the freedoms that we have. Thank you for the word, Father, that we have in our own language. And as we study it, God, we pray that you would guide us. God, that you would send the Holy Spirit to help us interpret it. And God, where we need help, may you provide the help that we need so much, Father. Thank you for your love for us, God. Thank you for loving us, God, when we are not loving you. Thank you for being faithful to us when we're not faithful to you. Father, we know that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, thank you for these truths. Thank you for your love. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.